Blog Talk Radio.
Show number 48, June 10th, 2013. I'm your host, Tom Riddell, and waiting patiently in the wings is Robin Eduardo from New Jersey and our guest, Jennifer Gunn. And I believe she's in the Midwest somewhere, and we'll find out shortly. But she is our guest today, and she'll be in to talk about the writing business. So if you have any questions or comments, stay tuned. I'll be giving you the number shortly for that. Of course, if you want to take a look and see what we're all about, you can wander over to the Writer's Lounge blog over at tomriddell.com/blog. And in there, of course, I've done reviews for the last almost 50 shows. We're up there now, close, two more shows to go, but you can go over there and read all the reviews and listen to the Blog Talk radio player located in the upper left-hand corner of the page, and that will get you into our show to listen. Of course, always remember, you can go into our archives and see and listen to all the shows that we've done over the course of almost the last 2 years. And, of course, we are on Facebook like everybody else is these days. And you can go over to our Facebook site. Just type in Facebook. You know the rest, the Writer's Lounge, the Writer's Lounge, and that'll bring you right over there. Of course, we're also on Twitter. Send us a tweet. We'll follow you. You'll follow us. And the old-fashioned way, of course, is the email way, and that's twl11@yahoo.com. And upcoming authors coming to the show next time around in 2 weeks, Janira Eldridge. I hope I pronounced her first name right. And she's going to be on to talk to us about a book that she wrote called Good Ghost Gone Bad. A very interesting story, and I hope you'll tune in for that. And, of course, I have to promote Magic Pen Web Design, and offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. And you can go over there at magicpenwebdesign.com and fill out the free estimate and let Magic Pen help you to sell that next book with a website design that works its magic for you. Caller's instructions, as I said earlier, you can give us a call at 626-213-5613. Or your toll-free number, 877-878-1436. And now, of course, the lovely and talented, not lovely and or talented, because she's lovely and talented, I always say, would be Robin Eduardo there in, I believe, it's rainy New Jersey.
Yes, it's really, it's, excuse me, it's a very beautiful rain, though. I like, it's, I want to say spring rains. We're supposed to be in the summer. It is June, but, I mean, what can you say? It's been a weird weird fall, weird winter. So yes. I guess we're not quite into summer yet.
Weird for me, too, because I just came back from camp. I was up to camp up the Mille Lacs Lake in northern Minnesota. Spent 8 days up there, and four of those days it was raining. And I spent those hours inside of my wonderful little camper, which I love and hope to keep. But I wasn't able to get out of it. So even though it's nice inside there, it's a little bit lonely and a little bit depressing, can I say, when you're stuck in there, not able to do anything but watch black and white DVDs, which I had. The player, for some reason or another, gave me black and white, and they're going to change it out for a color one. But, well, you know, I watched The Illusionist, which was a movie I saw, and I also saw a movie, Robin, which was in the Academy Awards, and I kind of slack off on actually watching those movies, but I watched the Silver Linings Playbook. I don't know if you've actually had a chance to watch that movie, but it's a really, really good movie. In fact, so good I had to go out and purchase it so I can rewatch it here again.
Sounds good. I kind of like camping when it's raining, though. That I like what you call gloomy and depressing. I kind of find cozy. And, you're a single guy. You're up there all by yourself, so I guess it would be different for you.
Yeah.
But I would be looking for somebody to cuddle, even if it was a bear or a raccoon, you know.
Yeah, bears up there, but no bears were around, thank God.
Yeah.
But
I bet you it was
fun.
So nice.
Caught a few fish. I did have a buddy up there for a couple of those days, and I had another friend come up. So I wasn't totally lonely. I did have people, and we sat around a bonfire, and of course,
I saw the pictures
to fire up the imagination that writers need sometimes to kind of pull up a story or two, and that was fun. So,
and of course,
your name came up, so we talked about you there around the bonfire, and I wish you had your story done so we could have read some of your book. It would have been perfect, a zombie story.
Oh, yes. Spooky campfire stories.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool, though.
Marshmallows are good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I love a campfire. I really enjoy that, and I have to say I'm quite envious that you were able to do that this weekend.
Well, you're more than welcome to come up to camp anytime. You just let me know, and we'll get you up there.
Okay.
Yeah. No ice on the water either right now. The ice is finally gone. It's done. It's now summertime.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get into summertime. Remember that with all this crazy weather, but yeah. Yeah.
So what else
is
going on with you? Did you mention a Comic-Con or something coming up in, where is it, Philadelphia?
Oh, actually, no. It's the Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and George Romero, who's, as most people do know, that he's the king of zombies. He's the one that kind of took the zombie lore from, like, the Haitian or the Caribbean voodoo, you know, zombies, to actually being the flesh eaters and creepy ghouls, and so the modern zombie is we give thanks to George Romero for that, and he's going to be there. So that's really exciting. That's for mid-August. So I really look forward to that.
So you're going to dress up and go to this, or how are you going to present
yourself?
Well,
I mean, I don't dress up. I mean, I actually did one of the attempts for the world record, largest Guinness Book of World Record zombie walk, and I just went as myself. the zombie diva. I don't get there's no real zombiness to me. I'm more of the voyeur. I like to watch all the other zombies.
Yeah, I think I'm like that, too. I wouldn't want to be involved,
yeah.
I don't think. But I do.
I mean,
I did the
parade. It was fun. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm talking about the parade.
Well, I mean, the zombie walk, I actually participated in it. But what I'm saying is I got much more enjoyment out of watching all the other people who really went in on the costumes and all that, which I don't think they're going to do that at the Monster Mania Con. But Carrie Fisher's also going to be there, from Princess Leia from Star Wars. And,
cool.
Yeah, so a couple other characters, stars, and it should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be the first time I'm getting back into the convention thing for a couple of years. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I wish I could go. I think I'd probably enjoy that. And speaking of Star Wars, did you hear about the news story that just came out? I believe in the last couple of days, I heard it on the way back from camp. Of course, when you're up to camp, I'm disconnected from the world around me. But I did hear a story about the man, and I can't think of his name right now. Maybe you can help me with this if you know. But the man who played Chewbacca apparently was stopped by the TSA agents in an airport because he was carrying a cane that looked a lot like a lightsaber. And I found that interesting. I guess they held him up for a couple of minutes. Of course, it hit Twitter, and I think everybody, as they do, they kind of expanded the story and made it more than just a couple minutes stop. They made it into like an hour or whatever before they actually let Chewie go through. And this is a guy that's over 7 feet tall, and I could just imagine him. You know, with them asking him who he is, I would love to have heard him, you know, yell out like Chewie, you know, or whatever. However, that wasn't a, it wasn't
that
a good
sound that he makes.
Better than I did.
That's not even that good.
but that was,
you have to hear my
was,
turkey impression next.
Okay. But I found that interesting. And, you know, with the news.
Yeah,
the
that is.
It's good to throw in a little bit of an interesting little story like that where, you know, I'm sure that he was okay with it. Now he's got a story to tell everybody. And,
SA
agents will say to their friends, hey, you know who came through our line? Chewie, Chewbacca. And we stopped him. So, pay no attention to those droids.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
That's
they should
right.
use the Jedi mind tricks. to get out of the TSA agent's grasp. See, there you go. You know, he wasn't on the ball. He got stopped anyway.
He had,
oh,
it would
boy.
Have been fun to have Harrison Ford with him.
Oh, I love that man. I really do.
He's a good actor. He's a very good actor.
Yes.
And speaking of good actors, the actress in the movie I just told you about, the one I just purchased and saw, Silver Lining Playbook, the actress won Best Actress in that movie, and I can't think of her name right now, but she did a fantastic job in that movie. Really, really, really good job.
I'm really curious, and it's funny how you find, you know, you stumble across these little treasures when, you know, well, the whole idea that you did this while you're camping just kind of cracks me up anyways, because your version of camping and my version of camping are two different things.
Yeah. Well, understand that when you are inside of a camper, and I've got the camper, all the technology, it's got surround sound, it's got Bluetooth.
Oh, I know.
So when my phone rings, when I'm outside, it comes through these speakers and it's outside of the camper, and I can hear it like 20 or 30 feet away when I'm down at the bonfire. So it's really quite the thing. Although up there, I wasn't connected to the internet. I was disconnected from all of that, which in some ways is a good thing. I think we all need that. I should mention, Robin, I did do some writing on my novel. So I think I cranked out about 1,000 words. So I'm excited to get back to the story.
Okay.
And I actually read my book from beginning to end. The 80,000 words that I've already written, I read. And I don't think I've ever done that. But I found it interesting. Some parts I'm reading and I'm going, oh, cool, this is good writing. And I'm realizing that I'm writing it. That was a good moment for me. So I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's really good to do, too, I think, because you're when you've set it aside for so long, well, not that you've set it aside, well, in a way you have, but to read it from beginning to up to the point of where you left off is such a refresher and maybe helps you see things with, well, you do see things with fresh eyes and you're able to kind of pick up on anything that maybe your eyes kind of glossed over, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And maybe As it's playing in your mind, as you're reading it, you find places where you can improve, or you can really find places where you're just so impressed with your writing there that it kind of boosts you on and gives you courage, I guess, to get through the next part of whatever writer's block or whatever might be holding you back in wherever you are right now. You know what I mean? I for some reason, I can't talk tonight. It's not coming out, but... You know what I mean? It kind of spurs you on. It gets you motivated.
There was a few moments of dread there when I did read it. Sometimes when we read our writing, our own works, we kind of cringe, but there was some good moments, as I said. And there's areas where I improved upon. So that was good. So anyway, this is a good segue into bringing on our guest today, and her name is Jennifer Gunn. And she's been in the book business for several years. She's promoted some of the authors that have been on our program. And welcome her. And I don't have a long introduction, but that means we'll be able to spend more time talking to Jennifer. And we'll click the magic button here. And all the way from wherever, I think it's probably the Midwest, Jennifer Gunn. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
I live in the Midwest, by the way, Tom.
Yeah, I said, but whereabouts in the Midwest? It's a big place, Jennifer.
Missouri. I live in Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Okay, you're just south of me then.
Well, I actually live in, like, the southwest corner of Missouri.
Southwest.
Joplin.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's kind of
Joplin,
south,
Missouri,
southwest of me.
Yep, Joplin, Missouri. That's around where I'm at. I'm about probably 5-10 minutes away from there.
Very good.
We've got
Robin from New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi. He never gets the accent right. He tries.
I try.
You have to think. It's sort of like the Archie Bunker. But I mean, you kind of get that. You can't even use my accent as a representation, since mine is kind of a conglomerate of all over the country. So, I'm from New Jersey, but I've lived all over, so that's why I have a little of this and a little of that.
I do is I practice accents from all over the place just for characteristics in my head of people. So it's kind of weird, you know. I'd be like halfway right about all kinds of different ones.
Very good.
It's so really
Jennifer,
crazy.
Can we get you to tell us about yourself and how you became interested in working in the writing business?
Well, about 3 years ago, I did a thing that I didn't, you know, I was really, really super shy. So I had never wanted to inquire about writing because, you know, writers, we always think we stink at it. And so I finally got up the courage and I, you know, just started asking questions about how to go about getting an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all snowballed from there. And I just, I don't know, I really just, it went into this thing that became so many different things all at the same time, so many different facets of this industry, and it was just so super weird.
Well, what did you do to research looking into beginning a writing career? Well, I hate to use the word career because most writers, as you know, generally have another, you know, their what they call their real job, and then the writing becomes their second job. So you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. Well, what I did was I was researching how to submit manuscripts because I had thought I'd finished one. The first in 2010, I thought I had finished one, like a short manuscript.
Yeah.
It ended up being a very, very long one.
Yeah,
but
that's usually how it goes.
And you go on the internet and then you start looking and it starts saying no unsolicited submissions.
Yeah.
Submissions. And so you think to yourself, okay, how do I go about doing this other part here? And you think about it, and then you just start asking around because you have no idea, right? And that's when my agent kind of just popped up out of nowhere, which, you know, it's kind of a weird thing to happen, but it did.
Wow.
And you learn a lot.
Well, how did you? I'm sorry. I was curious as. Were you looking like on Google? Did you become a member of some forums for writing, or did you follow any particular blogs, or become member of message boards?
I was a member of this group on Facebook called Fantasy Writers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked in there because that was the first writing group I had ever had any part of, or any pages or any of that I'd ever had any part of, was that right there. And I started asking around about, you know, how to go about seeking an agent. And the first thing that I was told was, you know, this is what they do and this is what they don't do. This is how they get paid, you know, this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, that, which was good, useful information. And then there popped up my agent. And I talked to her for a little bit, and we had, I told her, you know, I was almost done with something, and I'd have it for her, you know, very soon, and this, that, and the other. And then her and I happened to get a repertoire with one another and became very good friends at one time.
Okay.
So I learned a lot of things, you know, as, you know, being her, because I ended up being her second in command at one point in time.
Oh.
And I learned a lot of things about what to do, what not to do, you know, strategies to try to take, this, that, and the other. It was a very good learning experience for me on one angle of the business.
Cool. And I do know, Jennifer, that you did have, we did have an author that you did promote on the Writer's Lounge, and I'm trying to remember his name. Eric, I believe it was, wrote the
Eric Ekstrom.
Yeah.
Ekstrom, yes.
Yeah. So from that, I was wondering, working with first-time authors in this new realm of online publishing, as you just alluded to, it can be very challenging, as you also mentioned. Can you tell us what steps an author might take to find someone who can help them? And you have helped people here, writers such as Eric. What can they do to find their niche with somebody like you?
Well, first of all, writers, I think, are a little shy and they don't want to ask questions. Please do. Please find out what you are, you know, needing to do, what you are wanting to do. It's never hurts to ask questions of, say, your agent or your publisher or whatever. And always remember that you, as a writer, have rights. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times people allude that the writer doesn't have rights, that they're giving everything up once they give it over to so-and-so, such-and-such. No, they're not. That person is just helping buy into your project.
So I was wondering, with Eric, what exactly, like, did you do for him? Can you tell us, in general, what the steps were? I mean, he approached you at some point. You contacted our show to get him on the program is one of the things you did. But what else did you do for Eric to get him moving along in the writing business?
Well, I tried to help him, but there were steps that I was told, you know, okay, that's not what you're supposed to do, and do this. And, you know, it was this thing where, okay, I'm promoting this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because my agent, my, you know, head agent said, okay, here's this client and here's this client, and you need to promote these people, try to, you know, send out the submissions for them, you know, things of that nature. I was very limitedly funded, like I am now. So it was kind of hard to do my job, but there's a lot of things that you're not told about your business. And so, you know, it ended up being that I had to, you know, try to help these guys in any way that I could for, you know, to help promote them and to, you know, I edited books for these guys and stuff and tried to help them that way.
Hmm.
You know, because I also edit books as well.
Okay.
So, you know.
Hmm. All right. So you hooked up with Eric that way, with editing or with promotion or a combination of
yeah, it was
many
a combination really of both.
Yeah, things. You wore many different hats.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
I did. I tried to help him and my friend that was also my client too, to release things or to, you know, update their files and things of that nature. Because
well, I
also have been an editor for almost as long as those guys have been my clients. I wore many different hats over the past year.
Oh,
I had like
interesting.
Different areas that I was working at the time, and it was like, oh my gosh.
What types of editing? I was wondering, Jennifer, if you could take us through some of the types of editing that editors do. I know that there's grammar editing, and there's I don't know what you call them. Maybe Robin could fill me in with the correct word. But
line,
it's when
line
you
line editing.
A beta reader is different than an editor, correct?
Yes. They don't actually edit for you. They will tell you that they're seeing this stuff, and then they will tell you, okay, the structure didn't fit, and you know they'll tell that to the writer, not the editor. The editor will try to fix all that little stuff, or when they're doing a copy edit, which is basically just a grammar edit and a punctuational edit, like okay, you left out a word, put that in there, and you know that's basically what that is proofread, copy edit, comprehensive edit. Now that's the one where people usually get sensitive. Because they think the editor's being mean to them because, you know, they think they're ripping their work apart when all they're really trying to do is help them to develop their story in a better manner.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we as writers are a sensitive bunch, you know, and sometimes it can sting pretty bad when you get a comprehensive edit and someone's telling you you've been quite redundant, you know, or you've used such and such a word too many times. You know, when you're carving out those apples, there's a certain way to do it, and sometimes you have to get a certain way, and people think you're being mean when you're actually not.
Yeah, and then of course
I get that.
Yeah, and then there is also the money situation, budgets that everybody is kind of strung to. What's the cost, Jennifer, of a good edit? If I'm coming to you with my manuscript, what's the cost?
The going rate, from what I've researched on it, because I had to do a bunch of that for a new place that is opening sometime soon, the going rate per the page, because I don't do the by the line like some people do, by the page, it's anywhere from $4 to $6.50 is a going rate per the page.
Per page.
It can be quite expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, it can be quite expensive. I didn't actually think it was that high. I thought it was more on the lower end of, you know, the whole thing. I thought it was more on the $4 end was the highest. But I found out that it's not. It's higher than that. I was like, oh, my goodness, you're kidding. You know?
Yeah.
And that's probably for, like, a full comprehensive, and they format you and probably all that stuff.
Robin,
I
was going to ask Robin, have you experienced any of that with any of the works that you've, I know you're working on a novel, we just discussed that a little bit, but did you run into any of that?
Well, I can say that, honestly, I don't want to name names, and I'm not going to name names, but I have gone through a couple of editors, actually, and... over time, and it's hard. It is hard. I do have to say it's hard. Sometimes I do agree where us as writers, we can be sensitive sometimes because it's our baby. It's our creation, and we want approval. We really would like to receive validation for our writing and not what we... it's so delicate to say it because, you know, I've been criticized for coming right out and saying things like they are. So I guess it's just easier to put it as we can be sensitive, and we don't want to take critiques for what they are, which should be to help us improve in our writing.
Right.
And
right.
But there are also editors that sometimes they can take things a little bit too far and actually change
mean.
What you're trying to. Well, it's not so much about being mean, but to change what you're trying, your creation, to actually change your story, to add things to it that shouldn't be there. There's controversies online all the time with editors doing this. So, I mean, it's really hard. It really is hard to find a good editor anyway, as far as having a good rapport with them and a relationship with them and work
That's
well.
Exactly
so,
right.
I mean, I do. I understand. I've been through three so far. So. Oh, it's been,
you know,
I think this
you know,
is my
like
sixth
is
year.
I like to be very hands-on with my people.
Mm-hmm.
And if I need to change something or I want to change something, I will tell them and I will explain to them why I believe that change would be necessary so that they aren't so sensitive about it. And then maybe they can read it there and they can see and they can understand, okay, she's just trying to carve my apple and not split it in two. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's editorial changes. As far as, you know, grammatically making changes that way, but as far as actually changing the stories, inserting something that doesn't belong there, as far as how it plays out in the author's head, there's that fine line, too, that we have to be aware of. So,
well, right, and there's another thing, too, that the writer does not have to accept the changes that are made.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I think that a lot of authors, they think they have to accept this because this is what the editor prefers and this, that. No, it can go out a certain way, but you have to know that you did that and you have to own that you did that and not put it on an editor that was done.
Yeah,
that's the thing
I think
a lot
that's
of
my
times
biggest.
You don't run across, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's my biggest problem that I do end up butting heads with editors because I really have, as far as my own story, I have my own interpretation and vision of where I need my character, my main character, what's going on in her head and her own personal circumstances. And if somebody's not really, editors, again, they grammatically they can do whatever they want, but if they really don't understand, I just need their guidance as far as how to bring my character for the readers to fully understand my character's personality and her story, and so the editor can assist me in bringing that out. But if they're going to completely change her characterization and who she is, then
you know
what I mean? There's that line,
No.
And I think a lot of people do run into that, and then that could
one
be an issue. And that's been mine.
Right. Well, one thing that I sometimes advise, because I do advise a lot of authors sometimes about, you know, okay, this could be better or that could be better. One thing I always try to, you know, say, never take everything I say, but, you know, please at least listen, you know, and consider it. But also something with characters that works, at least for me it works, I do a characterization for them sometimes. If I'm not seeing them in my head, as a writer, sometimes I will sit there and I will describe them. You know, what they are, their personality, you know, quirks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it helps me to write them, be a little more visual.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you guys do that, but.
And that alludes to my next question here, Jennifer. Obviously, you are a writer. Where do you go to write? How do you get in the mood when you do your writing?
Middle of the night. And usually with tunes.
Well, because you're writing, your genre is dark. It's the horror genre, pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Dark fantasy, horror, paranormal type, Love it.
Okay, and I know we talked off air a little bit, and I did tell you that we would be doing the show around a bonfire. I thought we were going to be able to do that. Unfortunately, I couldn't do that. But I was hoping you could kind of tell us, give us a little synopsis of a book that you're writing. I think you alluded to it a little bit. It would be good to be told around a bonfire. So can you tell us a little bit about a story, if you wouldn't mind?
One of my newer stories, I just put this book out, and I'm in the process of actually going through it again and fixing some things. But this book I just put out, its name is Fire, Ice, and Blood, The Story of Jake and Holly, Book 1. It is the first book in the Revenging the Evil series that I've put out. And I wrote these books. It didn't take me long to write, like, three of them. So you can imagine they need their work done on them. But it's about a man and his wife. And then the guy character, his name is Jake. And his wife's name is Holly. And they, you know, he's like a ghost laid to rest, ghost whisperer kind of guy, you know. He puts these ghosts to rest because he feels sympathetic toward their plight, you know. And his psychic powers that he has, he uses those. He uses his dreams. He uses everything that he can in order to put these ghosts where they need to be because he just feels like they need to be in the ground or, you know, in spirit world or wherever. But in the midst of all this, the very first book, in the midst of all this, his wife ends up getting possessed, okay, by a very old ghost. Who is from Romania. Huh. I know that everybody has heard a lot about Elizabeth Bathory, right? The ghost she's not a ghost. She was, supposedly she was like the vampire queen or something, right? That's where all that legend and all that lore came from, right?
Blood of virgins.
The blood of virgins. Bathing in the blood of virgins.
She bathed in the blood of virgins. Like I do. That's what keeps me young. That's my beauty secret.
What's my secret?
I didn't know you drank blood.
My mother?
No, I don't drink blood.
Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
no, I don't.
I'm not telling everybody the truth on that one either because I have people thinking I'm a vampire and, you know, whatever.
Because you're a spooky chick.
Yeah, I'm a spooky chick. But the character, they have to get the ghost out of the wife character, okay? So there's a lot of things that go on in the meantime of trying to help him get his wife back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's rituals, there's all this kind of stuff. There's a few parts in there that are, you know, a little bit sexy. There's one part in there that's a little bit violent. You know, it's kind of a culmination of a bunch of stuff. And him trying to figure out how he's going to get this spirit out of his wife and save his wife. Before she
his own life or save his, or save his wife's
save,
life?
Save the wife. Save the life of his wife.
Oh, okay.
there's
I want to make sure I had it straight. Because, yeah. Well, I wouldn't know. I mean, here, my imagination, because I'm just a nut. I mean, I can't imagine why would he want to rescue his wife from the spirit of Elizabeth Bathory, because she was supposed to be very beautiful. And if there's all this sexy stuff going on, I mean, if I was a man, I would be pretty hot and exciting to me anyway.
Right. Well, the thing about that is she's a killer. Okay.
Oh well, yeah, that's true. That would be the bummer. That would be the bummer, right?
Right. Well, and that he doesn't like her temperament. Her temperament is too not his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He's used to this woman. He's been married to her for, like, say, about 17 years. And he's used to her being a certain way. And this new stuff that is going on, he don't like none of it.
It's too much for him.
Yeah, Jennifer, how do you develop...
This is not this woman that I fell in love with. No, I don't want it. Take it back. Pretty much. And Jennifer, so he has to figure out how he's going to do that.
When you're developing these characters, how much time do you put into it? Do you sit down with a notepad and kind of work on each character by themselves, or how does it happen in your head?
Well, with these characters, it was actually easier to develop them because they're, you know, people that I see. But some of the characters in my books have not been that easy. Holly, though, the wife character, I had to dig in my head for that one. I definitely had to dig.
And they actually control you, too, don't they? They kind of move the story along by themselves sometimes.
Oh, yes. And that's one thing about the first one. I wrote that first draft for that in a month and a half.
Mm.
That's how much it plagued me to get it out of my system. And it was fun. So much fun to write that.
So do you, like, keep a notebook nearby or something? I mean, as you're developing the character and writing the story and you come up with ideas, do you write that, you know, do you jot them down to add to them later, or do you just kind of let it all free flow? A stream of consciousness writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. With these ones, I actually did it on file, I think, more than I did on a notebook. A lot of people like to hear us say we have notebooks all over the place, which I do. But a lot of times I will map things out in a file versus in a notebook because my hands get to cramping up on me.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we've just wanted to mention everybody, if you'd like to give us a call, we do have a caller on here for Jennifer, but I want to give you the call numbers again. Phone number is 626-213-5613 and toll free 877-878-1436. And I wish I had, one of those producers or whatnot sitting by to tell me who was on the line. I don't. I do know the area code very well because it's my area code, and I won't give the number out, but I will bring this person on and bring them on right now. And you're on the Writer's Lounge with Jennifer Gunn, Robin Eduardo, and I am Tom Riddell. You have a question or comment?
I do. Tom, this is Marcia. I don't know if you recognize my voice, Marcia Alexander.
Oh, absolutely.
First time listener to the show. Y'all are doing great.
Giving you a quick introduction.
I do have a question for Jennifer. The question I have is, I'm a new writer. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. It took me a little bit of time to build up the nerve to call in. But one question I have is, I'm a new writer. I don't have any books or anything like that. But one question I have is, how do you personally, when an editor is editing some of your work, or even if you're giving it to someone, I still have that really hard time of feeling like it's my baby. How do you not take it personally, and how do you grow from that experience?
Well, it's very hard not to take it personally. And that's what people always say, have a tough skin, blah, 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 you need one. No, you need to feel that sting in order to get over that sting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's something that you have to go through emotionally in order to prepare yourself for next time. At least that's the way I believe, anyhow, is it takes you a little bit to get over that and to get to saying, okay, this is a critique. This wasn't something that somebody's just trying to be mean about, you know?
Right, right.
And that
so it eventually gets easier, is what you're saying?
Yes. Eventually it gets a little bit easier, and you decide, okay, this guy's my friend, and he wouldn't knowingly be this mean to me, so he must be trying to help me, you know?
Right.
You kind of have to take it that way after a while because not everybody's actually out to be cruel to you. And we have to, we have to grow and be like, okay, it's not about that. It's about making myself learn here, you know?
Yeah.
I think for me, what I end up doing is instead of thinking that they're being cruel, I just assume that I don't know what I'm doing and that I can't write. Uh-huh. And so then it kind of shuts me down. So it's not I don't feel like they're being mean. I feel like they're being real. And I appreciate it, but then it ends up shutting me down as a writer. So is there any way to overcome that?
that happens. But, you know, we can go through and, like, have a whole lot of, okay, you're really, really good, you're really, really good, and then you get that one person that says, oh, you're really, really bad, but, you know, not, you know, in those kind of words. But,
right.
And then it just really kind of damages you a little bit, and you have to say, you know, maybe I'm not that bad, and if I quit, what am I doing? You know, I'm proving that I'm a quitter. So why not learn from the experience and just keep on going?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I really think that you hit it on the head there with that. And Robin, do you have any advice for Marcia? In fact, I wanted to get in here, but Marcia was jumping all over me. I couldn't talk. So, you know what? So Marcia's a friend of mine. I'm not afraid to say that. And we have talked.
Good. You might be.
We used to be coworkers, and she is an aspiring writer like we all are, Robin. Robin, would you have any advice for Marcia?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I know exactly what you're saying, because I don't know how familiar you are with me, but it has been going on, I would say, about 6 years now that I'm writing my No Redemption for the Dead, and going through multiple editors because exactly for those reasons, that it actually makes me feel like, whoa, my writing's not up to par. So then I get I'm hypercritical about myself. It's not that I feel that the editors are finding, you know, that I'm not good enough, but that where I feel like it's almost like a challenge. So now I set up those obstacles and those barriers where, you know what, it's just not ready for prime time. I got to go back in, and I got to revise it again, and I got to revise it again, and I got to revise it again. And in the meantime, yeah, everybody's like, well, you know, where is it? Where is it? And
each time that you revise it, Robin, does it not teach you something every time?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, you know, in the end, you can't let it hold it back. You can't let it kill that writer in you. You really have to keep pushing and striving to be even better than you were before. And I can tell you, looking back, 5 years later, 6 years later, from when I first started jotting all these little notes down in writing and all this for this book specifically, I can tell you I am 50% at least a better writer than I was, and probably more like 75 or 80% better than the writer that I was. And that's only because I listened to all of those so-called negative critiques. And didn't take it to heart and say, oh, you know, well, they're just being big, bad, meanie, poopy heads, you know. They don't know what they're talking about. No, they do know what they're talking about. Even if they're not a professional editor, if you're beta readers, if your friends, anybody, Facebook, people on the forums, if you put any of your writing, you know, even if it's just a chapter, hey, guys, check this out. Take those critiques and learn from them and see what you can do to improve upon it. That's the thing.
Grow.
Keep moving forward. Yeah.
Marcia, does that help you?
It does. It does. I don't have any work or anything like that I've actually put out there for anybody to read. Most of it's, I'm in school right now. Most of it's small stuff that I give to professors or what have you. And
yeah.
When I get back and I get an A, I'm like, great. When I get back and even if it's just a small comment, I take it to heart thinking, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. So just hearing that it actually has gotten better. So hearing that really does help. So thank you very much. I've enjoyed the show. Thanks.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
And before you go, Marcia, I would like to say that as soon as you get that first book done, you're more than welcome. In fact, I'm going to drag you on the show here. get your first published work done so we can critique you and I can review you. So thank you, my friend.
Awesome.
I miss you dearly. We will talk.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you for calling the Writer's Lounge. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and could I jump in real quick? I just thought of something, and it just sums it up so nicely. Yeah, this is real nice. This is the joysy coming out of me right now. It basically comes down to this. If you were walking around with a booger in your nose, wouldn't you want somebody? Wouldn't you want somebody to tell you, hey girl, you need to clean that out.
Actually, Robin, no, I would love to walk around that way and have people laugh at me because I think that's hilarious.
You metaphorically hit it on the head, Robin.
You know, the show is so popular here, and we have another caller, and we've only got a little more than 10 minutes left. And I have another caller on the line from 8480 area code, and we'll bring them on. Do you have a question or comment for Jennifer or myself or Robin?
Hey guys, this is Eric Ekstrom.
Hey,
how you guys doing?
Good.
I just wanted to give a shout out for Jen and really say thanks for all the promotion stuff you did with my Everett Home series. Since the second book has come out, it's still taken off like crazy, and just keep up the great work, huh?
Yeah, that's so nice.
Thank
you,
Eric.
Have you read those books, Robin? They are great.
They are great. In fact, Eric, there's an open invitation to get into the next session. We'll be opening up shortly, probably in July, for the August, September, October, November session. Would you like to come on back on the show?
Oh, I'd love to be with you guys again.
Yeah, just send an email to twl11@yahoo.com and give me what you got there, and I'll review it, and we'll get you back on.
Okay, sounds great. And thanks a lot again, Jen. We, everybody I know that has worked with you totally appreciates your work. So,
well, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Eric.
Take care, guys.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well,
you got to love Eric.
Good. We're generating a lot of calls here, and we should probably do more shows with this format. And like I say, we are running low on time here, and I want to get a few more questions into Jennifer, but one of the questions, of course, we ask everybody, and I'm going to ask you, Jen, if you could sit down and talk with a famous person, who would it be and what would be the first question you would ask them?
Oh, my gosh. I love Shakespeare, and I would probably have to end up trying to talk to him in Shakespeare, because I love it. A lot of people can't even understand it.
Yeah. And what
somebody
would you
like
ask them?
Stephen King, or pick the brain of someone that I just... Oh, my God, Edgar Allan Poe, me and that boy cast the talk. Oh.
Yeah, he had some things going on in his head, huh?
Yeah, and so do I, so it would be a really cool conversation.
I'm sorry, I may have missed it. What would you ask him?
Oh, how in the world did you come up with that crazy stuff? I want to know.
And I'm sure him and Stephen
King.
He was
absent. Blame it on the absinthe. Blame it on the drugs. I don't know. Yeah. What these crazy Victorian age people or whatever era.
It was like 1800s, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe I have to look at this little card that I've got, but one of my friends sent me.
But I say Victorian, and I think there was a crossover of a couple different at the turn of the century anyway, 1880s and on.
Yeah.
I don't know if
it's like American Victorian versus English Victorian.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I love that era, by the way. That's why I would pick some of those guys just to pick their brain because they're freaking fantastic.
Yeah. Of course, Stephen King would probably be interesting, too, of course. I would love to sit down and talk to him, but he's one of my favorites. No.
I actually read something very interesting about Stephen King that I did not realize, because I just picked up a DVD of Carrie, finally, to replace my VHS copy because I'm still in the Stone Age. But anyway, I was wondering what it inspired, and so I'm Googling away, and I didn't know that he was a custodian in a high school, and all the he was cleaning the girls' showers and there was tampons. Not to be gross, yeah. But I guess it was pretty gross. But his mind worked in such a way, and you got to appreciate the way his mind worked, that he created this whole story, because he's cleaning up this mess, and he's thinking about all these girls viciously throwing them at one girl, and that was the image in his head while he was cleaning the mess.
The crazy element that made her do what she did.
Yeah, and that was the whole idea, the concept, the idea behind him coming up with Carrie, and I just thought that was so cool, because I admire Stephen King a lot, and I just didn't know about that little snippet. Yeah, how people's brains work and they come up with these ideas.
Oh, yeah, I love how people's brains come up with those ideas. I love how you can sit there and you can read something and you see it. And you're like, oh,
and you just think on a weird tangent.
Oh, yeah. You're like, that dude is freaky.
Well, sorry to kind of pull the plug here. We're only just minutes away from ending, but I wanted to thank Jennifer for being on the show. It's been a good show. We've got a couple of callers, actually. So that's something we don't do a lot of. And thank you to Eric, and also thank you to Marcia for calling in the Writer's Lounge today. And
hopefully that was great.
More of you in the future, and we want to have more of these programs. And Jennifer, I wish you all the luck in the world. Good luck with your writing, good luck with your book promoting. And there's a testament to what you've done. Eric called up and put in his 2 cents, so that should make you feel good.
It was like a moment, because I've been his editor for a while now. That was like cool.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Before we let you go, can you tell us where everybody could find you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook at Writer J. Gunn is a Legend. It's a fan page that one of my friends made for me, and she's the admin of it too. I did not name it that. And I have a website.
I love it.
That is... I seriously did not name my page.
I love it, though. I love it. That's okay.
And Writer J. Gunn's Tales of the Scary.weebly.com is my website.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And my Twitter name is Writer J. Gunn. You can find me in those places. And let's see where else. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm just about everywhere. So, if you guys, shout at me.
On a street corner with a tin cup, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. not in Carterville, like in my little bitty town. People might look at me like I was strange.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't thought of it first.
Jennifer, thank you so much, and we'll have you on again, and keep listening to the Writer's Lounge, and keep up the promotions, and we love you dearly.
Aww.
I love you guys, too, and thank you for having me. It was a blast.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. Okay, there she goes. Off to write another book or promote another writer, and really had fun with the show tonight. Keep those calls coming. So we really appreciate it. And, of course, next time we will be doing the Janeria. I'm probably not pronouncing this right. So, Janeria, if you're listening, please forgive me. Eldred's name, and Good Ghost Gone Bad is the book that will be on in 2 weeks. And, Robin, this is your cue.
Oh, good reading and good writing. Have a great night, guys.
Good night. Bye.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. But it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. Like it's rainbow weather. Trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather.